The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Let's start, if we could, with your references to Greenland and the Panama Canal and so forth. Can you assure the world that as you try to get control of these areas, you are not going to use military or economic coercion?
No.
And can you
all must be paid if they don't release the hostages?
Do I have to define it for you? Look, all will break out. If those hostages aren't back, I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all will break out in the Middle East. And it will not be good for Hamas, and it will not be good, frankly, for anyone. All will break out. I don't have to say anymore, but that's what it is. And they should have given them back a long time. They should have never taken them. There should have never been the attack of October 7th. People forget that. But there was, and many people are killed. They're no longer hostages. Well, we need Greenland for national security purposes. I've been told that for a long time, long before I even ran. I mean, people have been talking about it for a long time. You have approximately 45,000 people there. People really don't even know if Denmark has any legal right to it. But if they do, they should give it up because we need it for national security. That's for the free world. I'm talking about protecting the free world. You look at, you don't even need binoculars. You look outside, you have China ships all over the place. You have Russian ships all over the place. We're not letting that happen. We're not letting it happen. You're talking about Panama and Greenland. No, I can't assure you on either of those two. But I can say this. We need them for economic security. The Panama Canal was built for our military. I'm not going to commit to that now. It might be that you'll have to do something. Look, the Panama Canal is vital to our country. It's being operated by China. China. And we gave the Panama Canal to Panama. We didn't give it to China. And they've abused it. They've abused that gift. It should have never been made, by the way. Giving the Panama Canal is why Jimmy Carter lost the election, in my opinion, more so maybe than the hostages. Yeah. That's, we're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name. And it's appropriate because Canada and the United States, that would really be something. You get rid of that artificially drawn line and you take a look at what that looks like. And it would also be much better for national security. Don't forget, we basically protect Canada. But here's the problem with Canada. So many friends up there. I love the Canadian people. They're great. But we're spending hundreds of billions a year to protect it. We're approaching the dawn of America's golden age. It's going to be a golden age for America. We have things that nobody else has. We have more natural resources.
Pretty amazing. Just add Mexico and you've got the whole of North America as just America. Take off, North. America rules the world. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Lots to get to on today's show. And not just about the American resurgence. You've got these massive wildfires spreading all across Southern California. It really, as I was telling Sam this morning, because of this resurgence, in a lot of ways, it almost feels like it's the late 1980s and the early 1990s America coming out of this strong and dominant period. And then you add to that, you know, what my father's been focusing on and emphasizing here in his last couple of messages, reaching out to spiritual Israel, Laodicean Christians. They're still out there. They're scattered about. And God's making one final, he's making one final pass in our nations. And he's also reaching out to and pleading with The Laodiceans, I'll just give you a few quotes here at the start. I had it at the back of my notes, actually, but this is from my father's latest coworker letter, December 17, 2024. What I have realized is that the chapters that follow, he's speaking of Jeremiah 2 and through 7, I should say, give more direction to God's work. He says, study these chapters and you see a heart-wrenching, agonizing plea from God to his own people. Those who know him or knew him, but are failing spiritually, God is making a heart-wrenching, agonizing plea to these brethren of God, these wayward brethren. He's crying out. He's saying, look, there's one final pass here, and you've got to respond to this message. It's easy to get caught up. I never thought I'd see a press conference like what I saw yesterday. It's easy to get caught up in the hoopla. And as some of the commentators are pointing out, the difference between Donald Trump and any other politician who makes these grandiose claims or promises is most of them, they never follow through. This is a man that actually does. And so when he starts talking about adding Greenland, you know, commentators take note. I mean, some of them have their heads explode, but others, they're going right along with it. It's pretty, Don Jr. was at Greenland yesterday with this traveling party, and only 49,000 people there. You look at it on a map, I mean, it's obviously strategic, and Donald Trump sees that. What a difference between this administration and the one before him, the illegitimate one. You look at the New York Post today, the cover is the Donroe Doctrine. they're having some fun with it as well. There he is, pointing to Canada, pointing to Greenland, talking about, and to have the Panama Canal back in the news. I know it was Jimmy Carter that just gave it away, but here again, you think about how central that is, that Seagate is, to the story in this book. The prophecy in this book, God's bringing it to our attention all over again. He's reminding these Laodiceans and all of us, really, that look, I gave you these blessings. I gave you these gifts. I gave you these gates. And now I'm taking them away. In some cases, it was because Israel just gave them back. Reagan recognized how ridiculous that was. Never should have happened. And then here we are. Here we are, somewhat 45 years later. And Donald Trump is saying we never should have given it back. And in fact, we might go back and take it. I mean, it's being run by China, as you heard there in the cold open. He sees this. There was another clip from yesterday where he said Panama, there's leaks and so on in the canal, and they want us to fork over the $3 billion to fix it. Imagine that. If Joe Biden stayed in there for another term, they'd probably do it. Sure, we'll help fix it for China. Greg Gutfeld yesterday, this is from maybe 2 days ago, where he's talking about the Trump effect. It's real. This is clip 15.
Meanwhile, you see what's happening around the world, which is amazing. So Canada is tossing out Trudeau. Mexico is happily prepping for deportations. Zelensky is embracing MAGA in that latest interview. England is finally facing their reckoning over the mass rapes. This Trump effect is real.
And Trump himself said yesterday, I mean, it's impacting the world. Listen to clip two.
There's never been anything like what's happened in the list since we won the election. Couple of months since we won the election, the whole perception of the whole world is different. People from other countries have called me. They said, thank you. Thank you. The perception of the whole world is different. We're going to have to settle some big problems that are going on right now. We're going to have to settle up with Russia, Ukraine.
The whole world, their perception of the United States, it's totally different. And it is for Americans, too. I mean, for one, just to come out to give a press conference for well over an hour, and he's not using any note cards. He's not calling on just certain reporters. Remember those days? This is Fox Business commenting on that. Clip 18.
First, on the just the style of this. I mean, maybe we focus too much, but we know that he backs up the style with action. And if he was just a typical politician talking and saying he's going to do this and going to do that, we might dismiss it. But he's somebody who has a record, and we saw that a lot of his talk does pay off.
And the press conference itself, he did in 1 hour more than Joe Biden did in 4 years. When you look at the actual substance of words actually said, if coming from his brain rather than from a card. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And so the contrast was vivid.
He's sure right about that. It's kind of brutal when you think about the previous administration. I mean, I say previous. It's still in there for 2 more weeks, which is hard to believe. I mean, what we've been seeing the last couple months, it shows you who the real president has been. It proves what we've said all along, that Biden's regime, really Obama's regime, was illegitimate. It wasn't the real presidency. The whole world is being impacted by a president-elect. This is from our latest trumpet. I'll just show you it again. The January issue, miracle victory. It's like my father said on the Key of David this past weekend. I mean, we've seen quite a few miracles in 2024. I mean, how can you look at Panama Canal, for example? I'll play you the clips from the Key of David in just a moment. But how can you look at that and just say, well, there's no way anything like that could happen, or Greenland or whatever? Well, there's no way that he should have lived. I'm speaking of Donald Trump on July 13th. If not for a head tilt, he wouldn't be here today. We're looking at God's miraculous hand in many different areas, in many different events. In this January issue, my father says, Bible prophecy says that Donald Trump is going to lead a resurgence in America. Based on the scale of his victory, this resurgence could be significant and impressive. But now don't get too excited. As I said at the start, Southern California is burning. It's going up in flames. Commentators are saying things like Armageddon. That happens to be, by the way, where the Laodicean movement got started following the death of Herbert Armstrong in 1986. His headquarters was in Pasadena, California. There's fires raging in Pasadena right now. My father wrote about the California curse as early as 1993 in the trumpet. Tomorrow's news today. If you aren't a subscriber, I mean, look at this. Just look at the cover. Why would you not want to subscribe to this magazine? It's a powerful, powerful tool for God's work. Comes out 10 times a year, 10 issues. It's totally free, no cost, no obligation. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. This resurgence could be significant and impressive. It says, we must see that this is not the work of a man. This is God's doing. God issued the prophecy, and God is bringing it to pass. The resurgence is of God. We want to keep bringing God right into the middle of this. God is in the picture. God is involved. God was involved in the head tilt. It says, as you watch this resurgence, always remember 2 Kings 14:26 to 27. Never forget that it was God who took pity on America in our bitter affliction and saved us temporarily by the hand of Donald Trump. God did this. That's what it says there in 2 Kings 14. And you can read all about that again in America Under Attack or in our Trumpet magazine, the latest issue, obviously. Back in September of 2019, again at the Trumpet, we were writing this toward the end of Donald Trump's first term before the election was stolen from him the following year. It says here, King Jeroboam presided over a spectacular renaissance in the kingdom of Israel in the first half of the 8th century B.C. Israel attained a level of material prosperity power and national security it hadn't experienced since King Solomon. God, it says, God is behind the resurgence in both America and the Jewish state. I mean, don't forget about little Israel. We're seeing quite a resurgence for Israel as well, following October 7. But you know, another thing about Jeroboam II is he expanded the territory of ancient Israel. He actually went out and said, we're going to take this sea gate, we're going to add land over here. That happens from time to time. That happens in history. To just dismiss it and say, well, it could never happen today, that would be foolish. My father, again, touches on this in the latest Key of David. This is from the National Interest. President-elect Donald Trump's recent lament that the U.S. ceded control of the Panama Canal to Panama under the Carter administration is both strategically sound and historically resonant. Trump, the most consequential conservative president since Ronald Reagan, shares with the Gipper both an instinctual understanding of the U.S. national interests and, more specifically, a healthy skepticism about the logic of ceding the American-built canal. America built it. America sacrificed thousands and thousands of lives to build it. America paid for it. And America gave it to Panama for what, a dollar? And then they promptly gave it to China. And now China controls the sea gates. And now they're really sticking it to America. Donald Trump understands this history. You know, for those people that say he's not informed, listen to that press conference yesterday. It says here, Trump's comments suggesting a possible American reacquisition of the canal were met with predictable howls from Washington think tanks and even Chinese Communist Party propaganda rags. There were a few howling away. Here's Caitlin Collins over at CNN, clip 11.
Based on what Trump said today about declining to rule out the use of force, that's exactly the same position Xi Jinping has on Taiwan. So I could easily imagine Xi Jinping saying, look, I perfectly well understand Greenland's close to the United States, Taiwan's close to us. Trump won't rule out the use of force on Greenland. Exactly our position. We won't rule it out on Taiwan. Or Vladimir Putin could say, look, I certainly understand that. Ukraine is critical to our national security. We are using force. And, you know, frankly, if the United States invaded Greenland, which, by the way, has U.S. troops stationed there today, Vladimir Putin, wouldn't oppose that. It shows Trump, again, not understanding the broader context that his remarks are made in and the harmful consequences that this is having all across NATO right now.
You're saying that President Xi and President Putin could use this as a way to justify what they argue about Ukraine and Taiwan. But you're also, what you're saying there, maybe indirectly, is that Trump sounds like President Xi and President Putin.
Oh, there you go. He's Putin. He's a he used to be the, at least he's moving up. He used to be the Putin stooge. He used to be Putin's asset. Now he's competing with Putin. Well, in a lot of ways, John Bolton's right. I'm sure that those dictators will look at this and say, well, then we should help ourselves to the North Pole or to Taiwan or to whatever. But consider the other extreme. That's what we've been seeing under bitter affliction. Rather than saying, we'll go take the canal back, you've had leadership in the United States that says, here, you can have it all back. Here, we'll give it to you. Oh, sure, we'll pay the $3 billion to repair it. That was some bitter, bitter affliction. I mean, going back to Bolton's point, you just had, who was it? France yesterday warned Donald Trump, don't you go, if you threaten Europe's territory, that would be Greenland. I mean, in a lot of ways, this is Donald Trump or Jeroboam against the Holy Roman Empire. And we know how that's going to play out in Bible prophecy. So, as I say, there's some truth to what John Bolton says. But at the same time, God prophesied of a resurgence. And it's easy to see some of these things playing out the way Donald Trump suggested yesterday in that news conference. as much as they might howl. The national interest piece, it says, yet our 45th and 47th president, much like the 40th president before him, that's speaking of Reagan. I mean, you had the even this movie, which was pretty good, I understand, about Reagan just last summer. It I mentioned yesterday on the show, God's sense of timing, the poetic justice. How much was God laying out there in anticipation of Donald Trump becoming the 47th president? In fact, he was president all along, just under intense persecution for the first term and then the second term when he was down in Mar-a-Lago. He's the 45th. He's 45. And what happened there in between his first and third term? That was fraud. That was a stolen election. That was illegitimate. That was a hoax. And so much of that, as I've said in the two shows earlier this week, it's being exposed. Look at what they tried to do with January 6th. You can go, obviously, before that, with the first impeachment, the spying, and everything else. But for January 6th, this big hoax, and then the impeachment, the second impeachment, trying to destroy him politically as he was leaving office. Peacefully, by the way. It says here, as Trump returns to the Oval Office, this discernment will find a world in desperate need of an American president willing to pursue controversial causes for the strategic advantage of his country and the safety of its citizens. Well, that's the national interest. And you've got quite a few others. And you can't even really call it conservative media anymore. That point was made earlier this week on Fox News. It's really the MAGA or populist America First movement, and then everyone else that hates it, that wants to assassinate Donald Trump, that wants to give away assets, American assets, that wants to drive the country into the ground, that wants to run up inflation, never mind the needs of ordinary Americans. Again, we can read the United States and Britain in prophecy and know how that this is going to play out. He is reaching out. This is an agonizing plea, not just to Laodicean Christians. It's to the people of America and Britain and little Judah as well, primarily to these nations. Here's a resurgence. It was prophesied. And here is one final opportunity to turn to God in repentance. Listen to my father's Key of David program from this past weekend. This is called Bible Prophecy Reveals How We Won and Lost the Panama Canal. I played the full episode for you on this show last Friday, but here's a clip 16.
Well, I wrote a booklet on China's dangerous move against America. That was in 2021 when we published that. So I'd like to give you some material from that booklet I wrote, but the canal didn't just serve America. It slashed shipping costs and opened up free trade and all kinds of services and blessings to the whole world. I mean, it really was shared with the whole world. Well, it's not that way today. It is not that way. Charles Krauthammer, the late Charles Krauthammer, said the strategic jewel that was the Panama Canal launched America to the rank of great power. It gave them that much more power, and everybody could see this was a world power. And Theodore Roosevelt was a powerful president. But anyhow, that canal was just a major part of making America great, the greatest single nation ever in this world. That too is prophesied.
As I said earlier, isn't it interesting that God's bringing the Panama Canal back to our attention, which for many of our followers, many of our readers, that brings the United States and Britain in prophecy back to our attention. God gave us that gift. That was a blessing for not just America, as you heard there. It was a blessing for the whole world. This is from The United States and Britain in Prophecy, the book I just held up. Mr. Armstrong writes about the blessings God bestowed upon our nations. He said, the most remarkable fulfillment of biblical prophecy in modern times was the sudden sprouting forth of the two mightiest world powers. One, a commonwealth of nations forming the greatest world empire of all time. The other, the wealthiest, most powerful nation on earth today. That's America, of course. And before that, he references the British Empire. These birthright peoples came with incredible suddenness into possession of more than two-thirds, nearly three-fourths of the cultivated wealth and resources of the whole world. I mean, Donald Trump, he is coming along really in the spirit of the blessings God bestowed upon the people of Israel because of promises made to Abraham, the great patriarch of the book of Genesis. We're introduced to him in Genesis 12. Donald Trump understands the value of places like Greenland with only 49,000 people or residents and of just a vast array of minerals and all kinds of other wealth and prosperity that can be tapped into, no doubt. It says here, this sensational spurt from virtual obscurity in so short a time gives incontrovertible proof of divine inspiration. Never in all history did anything like it occur. I mean, it proves this fulfilled prophecy. As I say, you can read all about it in this book. It proves God's existence. It shows how all-powerful he is. To bring about these fulfilled prophecies thousands and thousands of years later, it happened because he said it would. I mean, that really builds and strengthens our faith. It should. That's really what a study of the U.S. and Britain in prophecy will do. If you immerse yourself into that book, what an inspired study, and you can study right along with it. Great Again, America Under Attack. You can get the full picture and see, just like my father said in that December 17 coworker letter, that we are living in the very last days, and God is, he's reaching out with a heart-wrenching, agonizing plea. My father says in that coworker letter, that in chapter 1 of Jeremiah, God concentrates on the Laodicean Christians. He's going to begin to deliver a strong warning to them like we've never done before. It says the entire message of this church must get stronger as we approach the great tribulation, the day of the Lord, and the return of Jesus Christ. And he goes on and talks about how that he plans to write a second book, or a book that continues the story of the first book that this work started with, Malachi's message. And he said before how that America Under Attack is like Malachi's message for the nations of Israel. God is reaching out. Play this next clip also from the Key of David this past weekend, clip 17.
Now, I believe China might not be so successful here. It could even diminish their power. But of course, we don't know. But they certainly are a superpower status today, and in many ways more powerful even the United States. So it would be a real loss if they were to lose, let's say, their power in the Panama Canal, and they just might do that. We don't know, but God just might give this gate back to America. I would not be shocked to see that happen, because there have been a lot of miracles that have happened during Donald Trump's political campaign.
There you go. He's right about that. I emphasized that point earlier in the show. We've seen a lot of miracles. Play this from Donald Trump yesterday at that press conference, clip three.
But we're not stupid anymore. So the Panama Canal is under discussion with them right now. They violated every aspect of the agreement, and they morally violated it also. And they want our help because it's leaking and not in good repair. And they want us to give $3 billion to help fix it. I said, well, why don't you get the money from China? Because China's basically taken it over. China's at both ends of the Panama Canal. What they've done to us, they've charged us. They've overcharged our ships, overcharged our Navy. And then when they need repair money, they come to the United States to put it up. We get nothing. Those days are over.
We're not stupid anymore. I never thought I would live long enough to see a president speak like this on the world stage. Comes out, as I say, no note cards. What a difference. What a contrast to the dear leader, to what we've seen, the bitter affliction. This article we wrote in The Trumpet, 2019, August 2019, The King Who Saved Israel, talks about Jeroboam, the history. It says the Bible reveals Jeroboam II's reign to be unique in Israel's history. God prophesied that even though Jeroboam was wicked, God would have mercy on Israel and use Jeroboam to enlarge Israel's boundaries in a way not seen since the reign of King Solomon. There's not a lot in there in the Bible about Jeroboam II, but what we do read, it's very significant. He came along and he enlarged Israel's boundaries. This article says this stunning expansion, this is further on, talking about the King's Highway, I think, it meant Jeroboam maintained control over one critical trade route connecting ancient Egypt to northern Mesopotamia, the King's Highway. I mean, it was like a gate, basically. Not a sea gate, but a gate that Israel controlled under Jeroboam II. It says this meant Jeroboam's kingdom once again became wealthy, flush with cash. Israel took one last breath of the good life before descending into Assyrian captivity following Jeroboam's death. It says, though archaeology can only reveal so much, the picture that emerges of Jeroboam's reign in one of national restoration of towns and cities throughout Israel, indicating a boost in wealth, at least for the ruling class. They had this critical trade route, and what a blessing it was for ancient Israel. In the case of Panama, the Panama Canal, I mean, what a blessing it was for the whole of the world. And now it's controlled by China. And now it's sprung a leak, as you heard there, and they want Panama wants America to pay for it. Those days are over. America's not stupid anymore. So here is Trump in this, some would say, wild press conference talking about Panama. Can you rule out that you won't use force to acquire Panama Canal or Greenland? He says no. He says no. Listen to Jesse Waters last night as he chimes in on Canada, which Trump has half-jokingly referred to as the 51st state of America, clip 10.
He is America's real estate tycoon. So he's testing the waters. He's flexing his muscle. He's just seeing what's possible out there and trying to find out the new contours of the new world order. And ultimately trying to get a better deal for America. And I think the grand strategy is create a North American trade, energy, and security network that gets the best terms for us. So the pros of Greenland are a lot of minerals, great. You could project a lot of force to counter Russia through there. But it's also a very poor country, and we basically do whatever we want there anyway, and it would really piss off Denmark and all of Scandinavia, and they would ruin our access to the North Sea and the Baltic. See, I did study, Greg. And then in terms of Panama, yes, I definitely think they need to reduce the transit rates because we're getting ripped off every time we sail through there. But I don't want to occupy that stupid country. It's run by cartels. That'd be a mess. Canada. At first, I wanted it. And I tried to divide it into two states. Mm-hmm. And then I realized we'd be adding Montana basically for the Republicans and electorally like a Texas for the Democrats. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. But the fact that they don't want us to take them over makes me want to invade. I want to quench my imperialist thirst.
They're having some fun with it. A lot of people are. Because you haven't seen an America like this. Not since the 1980s, at least. Listen to John Fetterman. He's the Pennsylvania senator, a Democrat, who sounds more and more like, well, maybe I better cozy up to Trump and his policies so that I can win my reelection campaign whenever that comes up. This is clip 8.
There's a lot of talk about Greenland, for example. Now, and I know there's a lot of freakouts, you know, and of course I would never support taking it by force. But I do think it's a responsible conversation if they were open to acquiring it and, you know, whether just buying it outright. I mean, if anyone think that's bonkers, it's like, well, remember the Louisiana purchase? Oh, I think Alaska was pretty a great deal too. $50 million, I think it was. It was referred to as Seward's Folly. And now that was Alaska now. So, I mean, you know, open to having all kinds of conversations as well. And now I don't think it's not helpful to freak out.
He's open to it. This is that story from France 24. I mentioned it earlier. France warns Trump against threatening EU sovereign borders after Greenland comments. You can be sure there's quite a few people in Europe that really despise Donald Trump behind closed doors. And more of it, it's going to come out into the open. We certainly know that it will when the last Antiochus shows up, coming out of the heart of Germany. As I say, this is like the early stages of Donald Trump versus the Holy Roman Empire. I mean, that's significant from a prophetic standpoint. We've got the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. We've also got this one. I've mentioned it previously, last week, I think. The Holy Roman Empire in prophecy. So you've got that, and then you've got the United States and Britain in prophecy. Where do we fit in? What's it leading to? It says here, French Foreign Minister Barrot on Wednesday warned Donald Trump against threatening the EU's sovereign borders after the U.S. president-elect refused to rule out military action to take control of Greenland and autonomous territory of EU member Denmark. So there you go. As I say, lots of fireworks coming out of the press conference at Mar-a-Lago yesterday. Here's Donald Trump talking about turning around America's ailing economy, clip 4.
Since my election, the stock market has set records. The S&P 500 index has broken above 6,000 points for the first time ever, never even close. In a single month, small business optimism soared 41 points. It's not a 41, it went up 41 points. And that's the largest in the 39-year history of the group that does it. According to Gallup, the American people's confidence in the economy has just surged to the highest level in history.
He talks about how that I had another clip about how on the 20th of January, it's going to turn around. It's going to go in the other direction like a rocket ship. And then he's inviting these wealthy international businessmen. There was the one, I think, a couple weeks ago that pledged $100 billion of investment into the United States. Here's another one, clip 6.
Many things are happening that are exciting, very exciting for our country. And we're honored to welcome one of the most respected business leaders in the Middle East, indeed the world. He's a founder and chairman of DMAC Properties, Hussein Sejwani. Very respected gentleman. And I'm thrilled to announce today that DMAC will be investing at least $20 billion over a very short period of time into the United States, and they may go double or even somewhat more than double that amount of money. This is a great thing, and I believe he will say that he's doing it because of the fact that he was very inspired by the election. They wouldn't do it without that election. I can tell you a lot of people wouldn't. The investment will support massive new data centers across the Midwest, the Sunbelt area, and also to keep America on the cutting edge of technology and artificial intelligence.
It's been amazing news for me and my family when he was elected in November. We've been waiting 4 years to increase our investments in U.S. to a very large amount of money. And we're very, very excited now with his leadership and his open strategy and policy to encourage businesses to come to U.S. For the last 4 years, we've been waiting for this moment.
This commitment further underscores that many of the greatest business leaders on earth are seeing a very bright economic future for America since the election.
There you go. Everybody wants to get in on Trump's America suddenly. The world's perception has changed suddenly and dramatically, as you heard at the start. You may have read the story earlier this week about Biden banning offshore drilling. Again, anything he can do to stick it in the eye of Donald Trump before he leaves on the 20th. Here's how Trump responded to that, clip 7.
President Biden's actions yesterday on offshore drilling, banning offshore drilling, will not stand. I will reverse it immediately. It'll be done immediately. And we will drill, baby, drill. And we're going to be drilling in a lot of other locations. And the energy costs are going to come way down. Well, we're going to be drilling soon. We're going to be opening up Anwar. We're going to be doing all sorts of things that nobody ever thought was even possible.
Drill, baby, drill. We had an article back in the 2018. It was August 22nd, 2018 at the website, thetrumpet.com. Probably also worked its way into one of the magazines. But it's Joel Hilliker talking about the promises God made to Abraham, saying as early as Genesis 12, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'll make you a great empire as well. It says here, study the book of Genesis, and you will see that promise repeated several times and refined and emphasized. God promised that several nations would descend from Abraham. He promised that some of these nations would come to possess the world's sea gates, even those of their enemies. He promised that these nations would inhabit the richest parts of the earth, enjoying tremendous wealth and power. He promised that they would spread abroad, north, south, east, west. He promised that other nations would serve them and that these nations would actually be a benefit to other nations. These were foundational, massive, civilization-defining promises. So we don't know how massive the expansion will be during this resurgence, but if it is the resurgence of a superpower, it shouldn't be strange to think that, well, that might include an expansion of territory. And then when you add to it the prophecy that God has opened our minds to in recent years, 2 Kings 14, it says it right there that it's going to be expanding or securing territory, enlarging its boundaries. These are phenomenal promises and prophecies being fulfilled. And God's doing it for what purpose? Well, to try to get us back into the United States and Britain in prophecy. To try to get us back into these prophecies about why God gave us these blessings in the first place, and why he takes blessings away. Why we see curses all around. And those curses are still there. They're still real. Listen to this montage. On the California fires. This is clip 19.
Three out-of-control wildfires are spreading all across L.A. County, fueled by life-threatening and destructive winds up to 100 miles an hour. The flames tearing through over 4,000 acres already.
And despite the heroic efforts of all the firefighters there, all three of those fires, 0% contained at this point.
This fire is absolutely out of control. County officials calling this the worst case scenario, with crews spread extremely thin, particularly in inland areas like Pasadena, where new fires flared up.
Within 15 minutes, the smoke was coming down. The neighborhood was filling with ash and smoke.
Bulldozers seen clearing roads after countless drivers attempted to escape danger were told to abandon their vehicles and gridlock traffic.
They ran for their lives.
Traffic gridlocked for miles. Drivers stuck beside burning hillsides, some setting out on foot, vehicles catching fire.
It is still an inferno out here. You can see just how strong. Hey, oh, whoa.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Sorry, bro. Gotta get out of here.
We were told over 90 patients were transported, are being transported to the different facilities. But you can see here, it's such a chaotic scene right now.
Sky 5 unable to fly due to a temporary flight restriction put in place because President Biden is in town.
Another problem is water pressure in the Palisades. Many firefighters complained that they didn't have any more water pressure. Another problem is going to be the insurance situation. Many people have been dropped their fire insurance. Some have state coverage. Others have been going without coverage at all.
And these insurance people decided to cancel their fire. And we're going through this, and it just happened, and they have no fire insurance. And they wonder why people leave California.
This is likely, you guys, you know, I've been doing this for 30 years out here, and this is probably going to be the most expensive destructive fire in state history.
What is most concerning to me is our first responders and our firefighters who are trying to battle this. There's no water in the Palisades. There's no water coming out of the fire hydrants. This is an absolute mismanagement by the city. Not the firefighters' fault, but it's by the city. And I'm going to be very honest. We've got a mayor that's out of the country, and we've got a city that's burning, and there's no resources to put out fires. So if you look at your pictures, you don't see the firefighters there because there's nothing they can do. And it looks like we're in a third world country here.
Looks like a third world country. That's here in the United States. That's in Southern California. I mean, God, yes, God's putting our attention back on the Panama Canal, these sea gates promised from God. And he's also putting our attention back on, well, something that was raging in the early 1990s. There are plenty of curses to go around. Don't be fooled by a short-term resurgence. We don't know how long it will be, the resurgence, I mean. But we know that the curses are still all around. One individual in that montage mentioned the leadership or lack thereof. Listen to this from the Southern California. I think this is the Los Angeles fire chief or a report about her, clip 13.
I'm super inspired.
She took time out of her already busy schedule to tell us about her vision for the department's future, one that includes a 3-year strategic plan to increase diversity.
People ask me, well, what number are you looking for? I said, I'm not looking for a number. It's never enough.
Out of 3,300 city firefighters, only 115 are women right now. She's already looking at ways to change that. She's quick to point out that doing so has a greater purpose, attracting the best and brightest for the job.
They feel included, they feel valued, and they feel part of a cohesive team.
The chief also checks another box when it comes to inclusivity and diversity at this department. She's a proud member of the LGBTQ community.
That just kind of opens the door of people that thought, wow, I didn't even know that that was an opportunity for me.
Wow, an open door, she says. The chief checks another box. Inclusivity. We need more DEI hires. If California goes up in flames, we'll send in the LGBTQ community. There you go. God's putting our attention back on California, of all places, even Pasadena. My father wrote an article in 2003, Is California Under a Curse? This was from the Trumpet magazine as well. And then we updated that some in a 2018 article. And in this article, my father refers back to an article from 1993 at the Trumpet. This is, what, 30 years ago? It says in that December 1993 piece, one disaster after another is striking California. These deadly disasters are repeatedly labeled the worst ever. With all the disasters that have struck California the past few years, it's as if the state is under a curse. He says here, he talks about some of the fires all over the state. He talks about the Rodney King riots in 1992, wildfires in Oakland, California in 1991. Curses all around. It says a six-year drought ended in 1991, the worst ever in California. That drought was followed by heavy rains and flooding, which caused the heavy growth of grass, shrubbery, and weeds that led to the dangerous fires. And then he says, back to the more recent article, I believe we must now look more directly to the spiritual. You know, what is God trying to tell us? What's the message from God? Whether it's the fires, the canal, the resurgence, the head tilt. The message is, look to me. God's at the center of the prophecy in 2 Kings 14. He's right in the middle. He looked at how does that prophecy, or think about how it demonstrates God's great mercy, extending mercy when we don't even deserve it. How many times has God done that in our lives individually? Extending mercy when really we deserve some pretty harsh correction. He looked at the bitter affliction and he said, you know what? I'm going to intervene and save the people of Israel one last time. Amos 7. I'm going to intervene, and hopefully this time they'll look to me. They'll turn to me, not to a man, not to a movement, not to a political cause, not to one event in the world. But he wants for us to look to him, to turn to him, to repent, to change, to overcome, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's right at the end of 2 Peter, that verse. To grow. I mean, this concept, it's all through the Bible. I've seen it in such vivid detail in the Life and Teachings course that I'm happy to be teaching this year, but also in my father's recent book on the Psalms of David, the Psalter of Tara. And you just see throughout the study of those wonderful Psalms, where whether it's David or Jeremiah, whoever the author is, they're talking about drawing near to God and overcoming sin and magnifying God's laws and statutes and commandments and judgments and precepts. You look at what Jeremiah wrote in Psalm 119. I mean, he uses 8 or 9 different words to describe God's laws and commandments and precepts and statutes. I mean, this was someone that just meditated on God's law all the time. His heart was filled with the laws and the precepts of God. And that's what God wants for us. God is a teacher, among other things. Jesus Christ is the headmaster, among other things. And we have to look to him for instruction. And when we receive it, God expects us to put it into practice. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show. And of course, we'll see you tomorrow.